As we are standing, let's open our Bibles. We open Genesis chapter 3 and Luke chapter
1.
It's good always to be in the house of God. We read Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And then we go to Luke chapter 1, verse
18.
So we start with Genesis chapter 3, verse
16.
Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. And he shall rule over you. The way desire. What's the correct interpretation here? Chifunilo, possibly you might be talking about where?
Genesis 3:16. Kwa mkaziyo, ndipo anati, ndiza kuchurukisa, kusauka kwako, ndipo tenga mimba pako. Uza sauka, kubala. Uza kumba, mamuna wako.
We go to Luke chapter 1,
verse 80.
Yes.
Luke 1:80.
And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Nipo mwanayo anakula, nalimbika mumzimu wake, ndipo iye anali mchipururu, kufikira masiku hakuzionesa eka kwa Israel.
Shall we pray?
Amen.
Oh Heavenly Father, we are here to glorify your name. We believe that your presence here is very important. Because any gathering that lacks your presence is a dead gathering. We have seen you since we started this fellowship. We saw you in the singing, we saw you in the testimonies, and we believe you are still here. We can feel your presence. We humbly come before you, seeking your control on anything that is happening here. Lord Jesus, I now take control of everything in this building. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We get seated. My subject this morning is growth. Those of you who were not here that on Friday, we are talking about the authority of a doctor. We saw how a doctor is a man of repute in a society. That his voice is always finer. Because he is the guy that commands your health. We saw how a doctor can estimate your life.
Naona mamene adotolo anga pimile umoyo wanu kuza ndi mngangale kwa nthawi itali bwana.
We saw how people respect the advice of a doctor.
Naona mamene vanthu valemekezera mawu amene amaudziwa na doctor.
And then we could also see
naonaso
that despite having an S3 doctor,
nangoti tili naye dotolo wapano pa dziko la pansi,
we have the chief surgeon. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That subject, I thought I was going to continue the same. But as I was meditating upon it, God whispered to me to talk on growth. Now in the book of Genesis, where we have just read, the word says to a woman, your desire shall be unto your husband. God, in his premeditated vision,
Mulungu akuganiza kwake koyamba kucha,
he had seen
anaona
that one day
tiziku limodzi
a man shall have a woman
mwamuna azakala ndi mkazi
as wife
mwanga mkazi wache,
and the two
avavili
shall have children
azakala na vana.
Now,
Inde?
A desire
Chifuniro.
Is very good.
Njindujabuino.
But when a desire is misplaced,
Gadi chifuniro, sichina ikiwe maro mwake,
it's no longer honorable.
Sichikala tovomeke zeka.
Because you have misplaced it.
Chifukwa yu wachito sapa maro pake.
Instead of putting it in the right place, you put it in the wrong place, before God it becomes sin. But when it is in the right place, I'm speaking to you grown-ups, because I know there are children here. When it is in the right place, it is an honorable thing. Now, when a child is born, what is important is not only for a child to be born, when a child is born, it could be that maybe at the date of his or her birth, was born
2.5 kilograms.
What is important for the family is not the birth only and the kg that the baby has at the time of birth. Wow, we see that birth is okay. But birth is not the final desire of the parent. In my home country, when a child is born, the mother takes the baby to what we call under five clinic. There he or she is monitored. The nurse will be able to check the
2.5 kilograms.
The baby had at the time of birth. And then they will put the baby on a scale. to see really if there is what we call growth. So usually there is a simple graph that they have. From day 1 to day 30, when the baby had 2.5 kilograms, you got to be fast. When I'm fast, be fast. When the baby had 2.5 kilograms, so what the nurse will do, he's going to weigh her to see how many kilograms has she gained. Because if there is no difference, then the nurse will know there is a problem. But if they put her on a weighing scale, and then they see that she has now gained, maybe she has 3 kilograms, the nurse will know there is progress here. But if they see that he retains the same 2.5 kilograms, the nurse will know there is a problem here. Because when we talk about growth, there must be a change in size. The space that something occupies keeps on growing, growing, growing. And the other month, when the same lady takes the baby to the clinic, they will have to weigh her again. They will see that she has again gained, now she is at 4 kilograms. They will know there is progress here. But when she retains 2.5 kilograms, over the next 2 months, consecutive 2 months, the third month, then she weighs 2 kilograms. The third month, then she weighs 2 kilograms. A good nurse who have to take the parent and sit down with him. Mom, what is the problem? There is no growth here. So the parent will start explaining. Maybe, oh, well, this baby, she has been ill for over 2 weeks. Or maybe feeding has been a problem. Whatever she may say, that will give the nurse a proper idea as to what is the problem. Because where there is life, that's where growth exists. You cannot have growth where there is no life. That's the bottom line. You only have growth when there is life. So we monitor the baby to grow, because we know there is life in it. Naturally, he or she has to grow. If she doesn't, then there is a serious problem. When a baby grows, you observe her or him, you see that things start to change. She will start to crawl, and then start learning from the mother how to walk. And thereafter, you see that she is able to walk on her own. Then she will be introduced to maybe hard food. Then the mother keeps on training her. That's how nature is. Then he or she will be introduced to school. Some of the physical changes in or her body starts to appear. Then you know there is growth in this person. You end up seeing him or her in college. Later on, he goes into marriage. And finally also have children. That's the way it is. Growth is very important. This should be the underlining thought of you all. If you cannot grow, there is something wrong. The public also sees that growth taking place. It is not only you who knows that I'm growing. The people also around you, they testify that you are growing. So it works the same in the spiritual realm. When someone is born, according to Acts 2:37, you expect him to be a new creature. That's what Paul says. If you read chapter 4, you see that now you become a new creature. When you are born in the kingdom of God, you tend to have a new binocular. You have a new telescope that now you start to see and understand things in a different way. Contrary to the way you used to understand. It's God that gives you that binocular. Because the same Bible you used to read, when you have that binocular, you read it in a different way. Now you can understand it in a different way. Because now, you have new glasses, which the world doesn't have. You can never be a new creature until you prove that you are a new creature. Until the people around you are able to testify about you. People watch us. They know who we have been. And whenever we testify that we are a new creation,
ikapeleka umbo ndiso chirengi cha sopano.
They look at us with a very close eye.
Ama tuona maningi na liso pafupi.
The way we behave in our society.
Ife mameni tichitira vintu mkalidwe.
Now base in the spirit.
Kuimirira mumzimu.
Because it gives you a new understanding.
Kulengeza kuone vintu mjira ya nyowani ya sopani.
You see them very differently.
Muviwa na maja mjira mosiana.
You are able now to prove.
Iwa ukwani sabuzindikira.
To the society.
Uwantu.
That you are no longer the same.
Iwa sinduwa umozi na umozi.
That testimony.
Uja umboni.
Becomes very important. You remember the decision that came from Sister Ruth? Ruth in a foreign country that was in Moab. Her husband had died. And then her mother-in-law was advising her to stay in her home country. But she didn't want to stay behind. She had a very different eye. She saw things differently. There were things she saw that she could not see them here. Or then, which she saw ahead of her time, which helped her to make the right decision. As Christians, we must always have a vision. What do we want to achieve in life? Why do we come to fellowship? Why have we stopped dancing? Why do we wear differently from the rest? Because as you are here, some of the people are busy drinking. Why did we stop drinking? A Christian would sit and evaluate himself. A Christian doesn't do things without a purpose. He will always do things with a purpose. Let's turn to 2 Kings, chapter 2. There is something here we want actually to read. Verse 23 to 24. 2 Kings, you can read for me.
Ndipo anachokako kukwera kubeteri ndipo iye alichikwerere munjiramu munaturuka anyamata angono mudzimo na maseka nati kwa iye takwera wadazi ndipo anacheuka na waona na watemberera mzina la Yehova ndipo kutengo unaturuka zimbala ngondo ziwili olomwina vimabeya viwili vazikazi ndiku kupweteza mwa iwo ana makumi anai mbambu awili meaning 42.
Now you see the story of Elisha.
Ingani ya Elisha tulikuiona.
When God wants to put you into a trial or a temptation, whether you are a prophet, whether you are a pastor, You are not spared. Elisha has just enjoyed the presence of Elijah. And Elijah had just left him. When he was coming back, he enjoyed the presence of God. When he got the same mantle, struck the water, and the water separated, he crossed on a dry land. That was the first miracle of Elisha after Elijah had gone. But now look at Elisha. He walks, and then he is met with a temptation. Children are coming. They know nothing. They start insulting him.
They start
insulting him. Trying to ridicule him. Each one of you, if you could take the same position of Elisha, if it were you. Now we see Elisha looking back. Then he curses them. The Christian attitude is not to curse someone when he offends you. That's not the Christian attitude. The Christian attitude, if someone ridicules you, if someone offends you, you pray for him.
Amen.
When love projects in an event of this nature, God then has a final say. A Christian always does not revenge evil for evil. A Christian displays good. If goodness comes in, it's only then that the other person can learn from you. When you want to make a revenge, then God steps aside. Because you have taken things in your own hands. So Elisha failed.
Elisa anagwa.
Because he failed to demonstrate that he could love his offenders. Because the scripture says, love your enemies. No matter how bad they are, you must love them. Let me share you with a small story, my experience. There was a time when we were seated with brothers on a shop, and then there were guys who were actually moving around, and from nowhere, this other guy just stopped. And then he started insulting me. Everyone was puzzled. What's happening here? I wanted to respond. It's always nature that a person always wants to defend himself. Something said, don't respond. I kept quiet. He left. We thought it was over. After 10 minutes or so, he came back. He said, you are old enough. Why are you not dying? Many of your age mates are dead. Then I looked at him. I kept quiet. Something said, this is not your fight. I kept quiet. He kept on insulting. Most of his friends, they were surprised. To say, this guy, what's happening? I knew it was my time to be tempted.
Yes.
Something was coming in to say, well, why don't you respond? Then I kept quiet again. As he was about to go, then I saw a vehicle coming. It was green in color.
Yes, the motor was green.
It came all over straight, passed
straight
by him, and stopped in front of him. There were two guys. They stepped out of the vehicle, went and grabbed him, beat him up, and all people around, they were surprised. What's happening here? I told brethren to say, keep quiet. The war is not for us. God now is intervening. After they had done that, they rushed, went into the car, and off they drove the car. Everyone kept quiet because they could not believe what had happened. When you leave everything in the hands of God, God fights for you. So Elisha should have left everything in the hands of God. Because as Christians, that's not the way we fight. Cursing an offender is not the right order. But you take your offenders into the hands of God. If you have got an enemy at work, if you have an enemy at your home, wherever you are, take him into the hands of God. And you see how God will fight. God is a good fighter. When he fights, it's over. So Elisha, as a prophet, he did what he did. The prophet Brother Branham says, that's not the way he could have done. He could have loved the children, because it's only love that does it all. Now, when you are born again, you start seeing things in a different way. You understand them in a different way. And you start to grow. You start to realize that you need to support your ministry. Christianity, I always say Christianity is not laziness. Christianity is about working hard. Because you have a duty. You have a responsibility to do. You are supposed to support your ministry. I know we are in a world where the economy is very bad. Everyone thinks about what he is going to eat tomorrow. But God has given you responsibility.
Amen.
To support your ministry. You can never be a Christian and fail to support your ministry. I'm not here to preach about money, but I'm trying to give you a picture of what your responsibility is. You need to step up your socks. Supporting your ministry. That's why you have a responsibility to pay your tithe, to pay your offering. Many people tend to stay in church for years and years. But they have never paid tithe. Even if when they want to pay their offering, they would take their hand, go into the pocket, watch carefully what they want to pay to God. They only pick what is the smallest. Give to God what you think is best for Him. And God is going to bless you. God owes no man nothing. Whatsoever you give to God, God blesses you so much. That's why the word says, try me and see. But always we fail to try. Because we think about what will happen tomorrow. Look at the Shunammite woman. With her last meal. When a man of God came, he said, can you prepare some food for me? He said, oh no, this is my last meal. I don't have anything. First, prepare a meal for me.
That's right.
You remember Mary?
Maria, mamkumbuka.
When he was talking to the servants who were at that fellowship, they had no wine. And then she told them to say, whatsoever he tells you, do it.
Amen.
That's the Christian attitude.
Mm.
Towards the word of God.
Amen.
Whatever the word of God says we must do,
Amen.
A Christian does it.
Amen.
Because he knows there is a profit in doing the word of God. There is no work that can happen on earth without support. If you have missionary work, it needs money. We must be honest. The time for God sending a basket of blessings is gone. When you expect fruits in a basket, or a basket full of Zambian kwacha, that is gone. Because God has a trust in you that you are there to support your ministry. Because when you start supporting your ministry, it shows that you are growing. There can never be growth in you when you are failing to support your own ministry. The prophet says, when God gives you a pastor, he becomes a gift to you. So it takes you to receive that gift. When you receive that gift, you support that gift. And that shows that you are growing. Always when we talk about support in churches, people have gloomy faces. The reason is that we don't want to grow. We don't want God to bless us. To give is a blessing. One time, I was looking at a certain brother, he's a minister. He had only two shirts. He didn't have a jacket. And then I was asking him to say, how many clothes do you have? He said, no. I've only two trousers and two shirts. Something said, can you do something for him? If I take you back to your homes, into your suitcases, if you start browsing in your suitcase, you'd see that you have a lot of dresses that you are not wearing right now. You have trousers and shirts that you no longer use them. You have shoes that you stopped wearing. But there is a brother and a sister somewhere who has a single dress. If she can be given another dress, she would really thank God for that. Some of you are taking the same dresses. You are using them for mopping in your house. But the same dress, if you had given it to someone, it would be a blessing. So this brother came to my house. And then I gave him what the Lord told me to do. Off he left. After 1 week, I was just seated. I saw someone coming. He had a small bag. I said, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm all right. Yes, can I help you?
Yes.
He said, yes. I brought you this pastor. By the way, who are you? Something said, no, don't ask him. And then I said, okay. Thank you very much for the pastor. We chatted, and then off he left. When I went inside the house, into my bedroom, when I opened that parcel, I was shocked. There were two new trousers, two new shirts, a new necktie, and two new jackets. I gave that brother used clothes, and then God brings in new ones to me. You can see how powerful it is to do the word of God. If you do it out of love, God comes in to prove his will. And then what did I do? I said, well, blessed be thy holy name. But then I should also do something for others again. If God, you have done this to me, someone said to me the other day, he said, no, you know, we are having problems when we are baptizing people, especially brothers. Because the trousers we have, they are not good enough. So we thought maybe we could have two trousers. He didn't know what had happened to me. Then it came to me to realize that, okay, God gave me these two trousers that they could work in his ministry. They are not mine. So I went into my house, picked the same trousers, and gave the brother to be used for the glory of God. When I did that, I felt something good in my heart. The other spirit was coming to say, why have you done that? Because this is a gift to you. Then something was telling me to say, no, you can even share a gift to someone.
Amen.
After 1 month, I was just seated. I just saw a vehicle coming. It stopped in front of my shop. In Malawi, I've got a shop. In most cases, I spend my time there. Then someone came out of the vehicle. I greeted him. I saw he had a big bag. Where are you coming from? No, I've just been forced to drive all this way to come and see you. Okay. Can I have a drink for you? He said, no, I don't want a drink.
Ask me for a drink.
Because I'm rushing. Okay, thank you. Then he took that parcel. He says, God whispered to me.